We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome again to another edition of the Mind of Magnus. We are having our Halloween special this month. We have messages and notes from all the listeners coming in, sharing their stories, their creepy tales, and bizarre things they've encountered with us. So if you want to jump in here, send us a message on the hotline, the 585-310-2473. I've been getting some messages that are creepy and spooky. I actually would love to have you folks send in a voicemail. I've been getting a lot of emails, some messages, and text messages. While I do love them like crazy, I would love to hear these in an audio format. So I'll be reading a few of myself, but I have some friends of mine that will be sending in and sharing this, because I love hearing the words and the stories from the people who've experienced them. My favorite thing that way. So if you guys have your, take your cell phone out, use a voice memo app and send me that file that way, or whatever you can, email me at mindofmagnus@gmail.com or any other way you can message me. Send that file to me. I would love to share your voice on this show. So tonight I have some creepy tales. I have some things walking in the woods. I have a traveler's experience at Rochester that was out of town doing cool stuff. A few ghost tales and just some more creepy Halloween things. Thank you much for everyone who's been joining in for the adventures. This past week, we had the Drunken Pumpkin Party, which is a thing that I love doing here in Rochester. Every year, I have a just kind of an artist hangout slash just pumpkin carving and pumpkin party at Lux Lounge at 666 South Ave. We have a blast being there. I can't stress enough how great it is to be hanging around with creatives, just having a night to make art and enjoy pumpkin carving and see some costumes and that. There were a lot of ghost stories told around the fire there that night. We did not record them, unfortunately, for the show, but I have reached out to a few of those who told me their stories that I want to hear what they told me. So I'm hopefully going to be getting those messages here as well to share with the next couple episodes. So thanks again, folks. I'm going to get right into it. So our first message comes in from Melissa.
Hi, my name is Melissa, and I am here to tell you a story about the time when I saw a fae spirit when I was in Finland. I lived in Finland for a year as a Rotary exchange student, and towards the end of my time there, I was dating a young man who I am still friends with, and his parents had a cabin slash sauna that was in their backyard. It was a wood-burning sauna. It was awesome. But attached to it was this really, really nice cabin that had a seating area and a place to sleep. And upstairs, there was like a really cool upstairs. And so anyway, it was just this really nice, neat little backyard house, little cabin. And one day around dawn, one evening around dawn, I was going outside and I was going towards the cabin, and I believe my boyfriend was already in there. And as I was walking towards the cabin, looking just to the right of me, I saw a figure, a little figure, wearing brown clothes, a little brown hat, kind of just odd looking. It was really small. It looked up at me. I looked up, looked down at it, and we saw each other for a very brief moment, and then it was gone. I didn't tell my boyfriend about it because I honestly didn't even know what to say. Like, I just didn't know how to explain what I just saw. So I didn't say anything to him. Anyway, I went about my life. But it's just one of those things that just stuck in my head for a while. Like, what was that? And I kind of chalked it up to maybe being a ghost, because I had seen spirits before. So that's kind of what I decided it must have been. So I just didn't say anything about it. But then in my mid-20s, I started getting into Wicca, and specifically fairy Wicca just drew me in. And I got this book about different types of fae creatures that are seen throughout the world. And so, of course, one of the places I looked at immediately was Scandinavia, and specifically there looked at Finland, and there it was. I saw it. I found exactly what it was that I saw. It was a fae creature called a tomtra. It looked exactly the description of it, and there was like a little drawing of it, and it was exactly what I saw. And it just, I was absolutely floored to see that. It turns out it's a fae creature that likes to hang out in human homes. It's usually seen, or usually is, if it's seen or if it's around, it's usually around dusk time, which is exactly when I did see it. And it likes clean homes. It likes to be around clean homes. And this cabin was clean. It was very nicely, tastefully decorated. And, you know, when we did use it, of course, we would sleep out there sometimes. And, of course, when we did, we would clean up after ourselves. So, that's my story. I saw a fae creature in Finland.
Thank you, Melissa, for sending in a Finnish fae creature. I love getting a kick out of that. It's good to know that they like clean houses, so it must have been a good sign that you had a good boyfriend and a clean house at that point in time. Well, I have never seen a fae creature myself. Maybe a few little things out of the corner of my eye that I hope could have been something unique and crazy and cool. I have yet to ever come across with something that clearly was found inside of books and references. So the chance to see the thing you thought you saw, to be proven that you did see something that other people had not only seen, but is written about and known, has a name, hobbies, interests, and everything else. So I love these sort of stories. My God. So if you've seen a fae creature, something like Melissa saw here, please feel free to write in and call in and let me know your story. So without that, here goes our next tale.
Hey there, Magnus. This is for your creepy Halloween stories. It's kind of a short one, but it still gives me chills. This took place back in the late 90s, when I was still in school, living out in Middlesex, New York. I was walking home from my friend's house, and it was that early fall time, leaves just starting to drop, the air cold, everything crunchy underfoot. It was getting dark earlier. And when I say I was walking home, I don't mean some nicely lit sidewalk with a road nearby. I lived in the middle of nowhere. So instead of following the long, winding road that would have taken 4 or 5 miles, I'd cut through the woods and across a farmer's field. It was only about a mile that way, and I'd done it countless times before. But this night felt different. The sun was already going down when I started. By the time I was halfway through the woods, almost to the field, it was getting pretty dark. The sun had just dipped below the horizon, and everything had that gray-blue glow. Still light enough to make out shapes, but not much else. That's when I heard it, a loud crack. A big branch snapped off a tree and fell. It startled me, but it happens. I stopped, listened. Then another one fell. Smaller this time, but from the same area. I stood there for a bit, trying to see what it was. Nothing. So I kept walking. That's when I heard the rustling. Not right behind me, but behind me and above me. I stopped again. Listened. Lead shifted. Soft, deliberate, like something moving through the branches. I didn't have a flashlight, this was before cell phones. So there I was, walking faster now, in the dark woods, the light fading fast, like an idiot. The sky still had that faint glow to it, enough that when I looked up, I could just make out the branches overhead. The trees were halfway bare, but still thick with leaves. And I could swear I saw something move up there. A shape. Hard to tell what, but too big to be a squirrel. It was round, maybe the size of a really big raccoon. only it moved fast. Too fast. It wasn't clumsy. It was agile, jumping through the trees like a monkey. Then, silence. That was enough for me. I ran. As I sprinted through the last of the woods, I could still hear it, branches cracking, leaves rustling, like something heavy moving above and behind me. When I finally broke into the open field, I stopped to catch my breath. The hay had been cut, so it was mostly open, just tall grass and the faint outline of the woods behind me. The sky was still light enough to see the edge where the field ended and the trees began. And that's when I saw it. A dark shape. It rose up from the grass, just for a second, and then dropped back down. It was near the edge of the field, where the grass wasn't as thick. It looked like something standing, then crouching again. Whatever it was tall. Easily 4 feet, maybe more. I didn't see any eye shine. It didn't move toward me. It just stayed there. I started walking backward, slowly, keeping my eyes on that spot until I was far enough away to turn and run. When I finally reached my friend's house, I locked the door behind me and told him everything. Luckily, he believed me. We both decided to stay inside that night and just play Sega. I still don't know what I saw. It wasn't a Sasquatch. It wasn't a Skinwalker. My friend said it was my Ewok. And honestly, if Ewoks were a little thinner and taller, that's not too far off. Thanks.
I tell you, there's definitely nothing more creepier than being by yourself in the woods and allowing your brain to hear random stuff that makes you think there is monsters behind you. Especially back in the day when there's no cell phone lights or anything else, just walking around like a fool out in the woods. So,
I'm Chris Lindstrom, the host of the Food About Town podcast. If you want to learn more about the Rochester food and drink scene and beyond, with a good dose of nerdery and personal stories on top, then Food About Town is for you. I've been writing and podcasting for over 10 years, and I'm so thankful for all the support from the community. Subscribe to the Food About Town podcast today and hear from the people that make and love the food and beverages you can't stop enjoying.
And for the last story, I'm going to read it myself. This one comes in to the email as well, and I like this one. The subject line is "The Mist on the Lake." Hey, Magnus, the roommate actually is the one who told me to send this in. She loves your show and has been a Factoid fan of yours since you've been started doing it way back when Factoid Friday started. Well, so that woman must know me for a while. I've been doing that for 17, 18 years now, I think, on my social medias. But back to the story. I'm more of a skeptic when it comes to ghosts, but this thing happened to me years ago and it still sticks in my mind. This is sometime in the early 2000s when I was a teenager. Back then we still had flip phones and mine barely took a photo that wasn't just a fuzzy blur. Anyway, a group of us had been hanging out near Durant Eastman Park one evening. Right around sunset, everyone else had headed off, but I stayed behind. To be honest, I was smoking a little bit of the devil's lettuce, which, again, off side note, one of my favorite euphemisms for cannabis. So, but I stayed behind for a few minutes just to watch the water and, again, enjoy that smoke. So it was calm, quiet, and kind of cool. The still night where the lake surface looks like glass. There wasn't any fog at all, not even a bit of haze. Well, aside from what I was putting into the air. But just clear air and that kind of soft golden purple light that happens right before the full dark. And then this one patch of mist starts rising up from the middle of the lake. Like, it wasn't spreading like fog usually does. It was just a single tall column of mist about the size of a person. At first, I thought maybe it was a trick of the air or the light on the water or someone's like breath, maybe my own, like had just kind of floated away and I was just seeing it at an odd perspective. But it kept raising higher like it had a shape and direction. And then the craziest thing, it sort of began to move. It drifted slowly across the water, not like with the wind, but almost like it was like walking across the water. It even moved like a woman in a long dress, the bottom of it curling and shifting as if fabric was brushing the lake's surface. Now, this was Durand Lake up near the Lake Ontario. There's two lakes there, and I'm pretty sure it was Durand Lake, if you want to know the space for it. The furthest away from Lake Ontario. I remember standing there completely still. It didn't feel scary exactly, just really weird. Like somehow, like really wrong and weird. Like the air around me got heavier all of a sudden. It actually took my flip phone out and snagged a picture. But of course, that was back before you could back things up or the cloud or anything like that. The old phone's long gone now. I've looked for that photo a dozen times over the years and just lost the time, I guess. It's crazy, though. The mist figure just slowly moved towards the far end of this lake. It's where the trees are kind of falling in on themselves and really close in at the end. I watched it until it like faded out, and then it was just gone. The lake was clear again. Nothing was around me. I stood there for a few minutes, kind of blowing smoke out of my mouth, thinking somehow I had just witnessed the smoke just kind of at a right angle to make it look like someone was walking away. But it was not. I never saw anything like that before or since. And even though I still don't believe in ghosts, I can't explain what I saw that night. Anyway, my roommate said you'd love this story. And honestly, I'm curious if anyone else has ever seen anything like that in Durand Eastman Park. Thanks for letting me share, Jess. Well, thank you, Jess, for sending that in. I love a good ghost story, especially of a misty kind of lady in white area from Durand Eastman Park. If you guys don't know, that park is famous for one of the more famous versions of the White Lady. We have the White Lady's castle up there. People have seen a White Lady. I actually wrote an article about a White Lady, and our White Lady has two dogs, which is one of my favorite parts about the Lady in White from Rochester, New York. So if you have a story of a mist-filled ghost seemingly appearing above one of those lakes in Durand Eastman Park, let us know. Send it in to the show, mindofmagnus@gmail.com, or call our phone line at 585-310-2473. Now, I actually have something that I can compare to this. Now, it's not a lady in white floating over the water. This takes place as me doing a Halloween drop. I actually went and put some of my Halloween decorations around Rochester for 1 year for around Halloween. So taking place on Halloween, I'm doing a scavenger hunt for my friends on social media on my Instagram page. Great time. I go to the Lady in White's castle, which technically, now here's the thing you should know about. That actually isn't a castle foundation. It used to be just a place for a lake house for people to hang out. It was a public like park stone-based lake house. You can see it in photos of it. So it just got named this because of kind of the cool look about it and the stories around the White Lady. So I am going up there carrying one of these small gourds, as I call them, little pumpkins with an ominous eye. And I climb the hill. It is snow has been melting, so it's warm enough that I'm wearing a couple hoodies and maybe that's it. I walk up the hill slightly, and I will say that I felt ominous. Like I felt that someone was watching me in this vicinity. Weirdly enough, there was people on this spot as well, which is also kind of comical. They were dressed as Jedi, for lack of a better term. They had lightsabers in their hand and doing a lightsaber fight on with a background of the Lady in White. And it's pitch black. This is a dark time out there. And I am so I walk up and I get away from them. I don't want to bother them. I'm over on the far side of it. Between me and you, I end up kind of have to relieve myself before I put my artwork around. And as I'm doing that, I am so nervous. I keep thinking someone's going to like run out at the brush out me. Like I kept thinking that someone was there. And it really made me think that someone was there. I actually was slightly disconcerting. Like I saw the people behind me being Jedis and rustling around and playing fun. But it felt like someone was right near me. So I put the artwork up and take a step back and take a picture of the artwork because I'm going to post it online. Take a bunch of pictures and I go back down to the car and I head on out. We all leave. We're having fun. As I'm driving, as I get to the next place, I am looking through my phone and it has been probably 20, 30 minutes since the artwork went down. I look at the phone and in the phone, looking at the art piece, there is this mist. And what I think is one of the best faces, you know, I've ever seen in mist shape staring at me like it's a face yelling from coming in from the right of the screen going through. And it's like a mouth open. I see cheeks. I see nose. I see eyes. And pareidolia all the way, I think. But it is a human face screaming from the right coming in at this thing. I posted this on Instagram. And I'll probably put it in the show notes as well. But I do have an ominous mist from a place probably, I'd say about 1,000 feet from where Jess saw this ominous mist going through the across the water there. I posted about it. It actually had gotten picked up in a handful of white lady ghost stories from that region because I think it's definitely cool. Again, I think it's just a cool pareidolia of a very fat guy who just ran up a hill to hide art, probably breathing heavily. So that's what I think was happening there. But I will say that it definitely was ominous and creepy, and I'm glad I have the photo to share. So that's our show for the night, guys. I want to thank everyone who sent in their messages. I have a bunch more to get through. I'm hoping to have some friends of mine read some of the cool stories so I can hear more voices and not just have me read these cool stories out. But if you want to send in a message, Matt will give you a rundown of how to do it at the end of the show. And you guys have a good Halloween out there. I'm going to be back for at least one more show before the Halloween season comes to a close. But I'm going to keep taking more of these messages. So if you keep sending these stories in, I may just have some spooky stories and random listener stories happening more frequently on this show. So thank you so much for all you folks out there. And let's keep expanding those minds and having fun during the creepy season.
Do you have a crazy story, odd factoid, or want to share something you think will help expand the mind of Magnus? Let us know! Call our voicemail, 585-310-2473, visit mindofmagnus.com, or message us on social media at Magnus Apollo.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch Hour Podcast Network.